Hi, sweet friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Lives of Courage podcast with me, Jessica Stong. I am thrilled to have you join us today. Here at Lives of Courage, we explore what it means to live a life with courage, strength, and purpose. And today, connection. We're adding that in last week and this week and then next week. So we are embarking on an exciting journey. I feel like I say that every week, but this week I am particularly excited for our journey into the heart of what makes us human, our ability to connect socially. And I want to remind you that social connections aren't just one part of our life. They are vital to our overall happiness and well-being and health. So let's get ready to dive into understanding why these connections are so crucial and how they can transform our lives. So grab your favorite beverage of your choice. How dare I try to define that for you? And let's sit down and really reflect on what it means to be fully alive and fully participating in our lives. When I talk about connection always, I'm often reminded of a powerful quote by William Blake, and I want to try to remember it correctly instead of what I've, constructed it to be in my mind. If you've listened to the podcast long enough to know that I can't remember quotes very well, but I remember them slightly, and I can't remember titles of books because I read too much. And so you just bear with me when I'm trying to remember quotes. But and we are put on earth a little space that we may learn to bear the beams of love. I'm going to say that again. It's by William Blake. And we are put on earth a little space that we may learn to bear the beams of love. And to me, this quote touches the essence of our brief yet profound existence, right? That our time here is for learning to love and to be loved. I just think it's so beautiful. I've loved this quote since grad school, of course, where most of my fundamental life learnings happened. It feels like over time. And you'll be interested to know, or maybe not interested, but I'm telling you nonetheless, because it's my podcast, right? I finished over the weekend Anne Lamott's latest book. It was out April 9th, and it took me a few days to read it because I was sick. You might notice my voice is a little different, and I was supposed to record this podcast before last week. As always, I try to stay one to two weeks ahead of the podcast schedule. However, I was sick, but it gave me time to read Anne's book, Somehow Thoughts on Love, and her reflections on connection. And you know, we define connection here is connection to ourselves, connection to others, connection to the divine. Oh my gosh, she did this. And this, it talks about love and connection in this book. It's so moving. It's so enlightening, as always. And in her book, she revisits the Blake sentiment in a way that deeply resonated with me, in a way that only Anne Lamott can do in her books. Your recommended reading this week, and I never get to this early in the podcast because I don't want to give you guys an unreasonable amount of to-dos, right? But it, whenever you get a chance, run and read this book, and it takes no time at all. It's a short, sweet, beautiful book. But she, in the final chapter, got to this quote by William Blake, and you can only imagine the thrill I had when I read about her love of this quote too. I can't adore her more. But anyway, and if anybody ever asked me, like, what book should I read? Help Thinks Wow. I think that's the title of it. But any of her book on hope, any of Anne's books, I mean, they just rip you, your heart out, and then put it back together in this pretty little, not pretty, it's like a beautiful mess. So Anne writes, if the younger ones in our lives can remember this one idea, that they are here briefly, a little space to love and to have been loved, then they will have all they need, because love is all they need. She challenges us with the reality of bearing love's weight. She says, to bear the beams of love. And in her quote, her wit, she says, what a nightmare, no thanks. The cold vibrating spaces inside us protect us and keep us on our toes. Love breaks you and love makes you soft. It gets in past your Brooks Brother armor or whatever, fill in blank. This is my interpretation, right? Fill in the blank. Mine would be Chico's. If you practice enduring people's bewildering love for you, it will change you molecularly. It loosens you, gooses you, warms you. Bearing the beams of love can dislodge ancient places of joy, pain, shame, and pride trapped inside of you. And these words strike at the core of our fear and reluctance to fully embrace love. Yet, they also highlight the profound transformation that acceptance of love can bring about in our lives. Love and social connection isn't just pleasant, it's necessary, it's transformative, and it can be intensely challenging. It's the hardest thing, right? But it is through this challenge that we find growth and real connection. As Anne says earlier in the book, community is a body of people crying for one another, working together for a common cause, enjoying and overlooking or grimly tolerating each other's foibles. It's a rough and beautiful quote sewn of patches that don't seem to go together at all, and then do. And as we proceed today, I want you to keep these thoughts close. How does accepting love of others change us? How does social connection change us? How does it improve us? How does it improve how we are with others even? These are some of the questions that we will explore. And I want to briefly, and you know restraint is hard for me, so I'm going to briefly try to delve into the scientific aspects of why our brains are actually wired to seek and maintain these vital social connections. Because when I first wrote this podcast episode, it was, outlined it. It was all about the science and why social connections, like what they do to our brains. And I was like, you all know that on some level, but I just am going to do just a basic overview because I can't help myself. But we know that there are philosophical aspects of connection, poetic aspects of connection. But the science behind it is why, like, I want to look at why we're so driven to connect with others. In his book, Social, Why Brains Are Wired to Connect, Matthew Lieberman provides compelling evidence that our brains are fundamentally designed for community. He points out that our need to connect goes beyond our mere social niceties. It's embedded in our very survival mechanisms. Our brains have evolved to prioritize social connections because historically, being part of a group meant security, shared resources, and increased chances of survival. And today, this translates into not just physical benefits, but profound psychological and emotional gains as well. And we're going to get to this other book at the end of this podcast episode, Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam. Again, I read it in undergrad. So it's that old, you guys, if you're sitting down, it is that old. But anyway, he talks about this, these same aspects of what it does to our brains and what it does to our overall happiness and well-being. Like, we just know it works. And this is where I'm briefly describing it instead of going into the actual research studies. And then another fascinating perspective comes from Kurt Thompson in his book, The Soul of Desire. And you've heard me talk about this one before. Thompson explores how our deepest yearnings for connection and belonging can actually lead us towards a more fulfilled and purposeful existence. He argues that by understanding and expressing our desires within the context of community and relationships, we can experience true transformation and healing. And it's just such a powerful, important piece of this. And, you know, so numerous studies have shown that people with strong social ties tend to have lower rates of anxiety and depression, higher self-esteem, and even better immune function. What? And this isn't trivial. These are significant factors that can profoundly affect our daily lives and overall lifespan, right? There are tangible benefits to being socially connected. These longings for connection aren't just a feeling. It's a fundamental part of who we are. It's wired into our brains and reflected into our deepest desires, I believe. It also, there was a study from 2005 that involved 1,000 adults, older adults, I don't know their ages. So they might be in their 50s, and there we are. We're there, right? Those that had a more robust circle of friends were significantly more likely to live longer than their less connected peers. And they don't say how big their circle of peers are. They don't say anything like how many social ties they had. It illustrates how powerful and beneficial our social networks can be. And, you know, I'm really fascinated. I want to continue doing research in this area to see, is it online? Can you have meaningful social connections online? After doing the Courageous Life Society, we were really connected. Like, is it that? Is it, right? Do you have to be in person? What does this look like? I know that for my husband, he has friends from college that are his best friends still, and he daily interacts with them. And I wish I could say the same about myself. It's right in front of me, and then I'm going to remember it, but I do. I love my college friends. They're so dear to me, and I wish that I was better at. So this is where we're going to get into our challenge, our courageous challenge. You're going to sense those yearnings of your heart, those moments where you're like, I wish I was different. I wish I was better. Like those things that aren't helpful to us, that aren't meaningful, they're meaningful because they're telling us something, but they don't move us forward in action. We're going to actually capture those thoughts and then decide, okay, I want a different outcome here, and I'm going to change my actions to get a different result. So we're going to get into that. But beyond just living longer, being connected enhances our quality of life. It fuels passion. It fuels our purpose. It sparks creativity and provides a sense of belonging and community that's essential to our mental and emotional health. It's the antidote to isolation and loneliness, offering a pathway to a richer, more vibrant life. And I just wanted to, you know, it's great to talk about the studies and theories and, you know, Anne Lamont, but it's another to hear real stories. So I wanted to first, I had a quote from a client about connection that I had used in a Courageous Connection guide. She said, after joining a book club, I not only rediscovered my love for reading, but I found a group of people who understood me. These connections have brought me joy and a sense of community into my life that was missing before. And this is like really a beautiful testament to how shared interests can lead to meaningful relationships. Okay, really quickly, here's my story too. I had put it in the same little guide. I moved to a new city, Montclair, New Jersey, for a job at the university there and didn't know anybody yet. And, you know, I moved from Kansas, where I was very connected, to New Jersey. And I felt extremely alone, isolated and alone. And no one was reaching out and what was happening. And I just didn't know how to make friends. And it wasn't until I started volunteering that I began to feel a part of the community. And yes, I did research in grad school on the power of volunteering. And yes, I was then working with kids on volunteering, but it was this giving back, sharing beams of love out that not only helped me through the tough times, but made me feel like I'm making a difference. I was also blown away. This might be slightly off topic, but on topic, by Anne Lamott's quote. As she said, in the recovery community, we say the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. Ah, I'd never heard that before. Some people find true connection at work, as she says, in motorcycle gangs, mosques, churches, synagogues, or yoga studios. Some people have found it working in soup kitchens, town cleanups, mentoring. It doesn't matter the shape. It's the root of connection that changes us. And we know that there are powerful and emotional psychological changes that occur when we open ourselves up to connection. But why aren't we doing it? What is stopping us? And that's what is so interesting in my own life. I'm not saying, why are you not doing it? I'm saying, why am I not doing it more? Why don't I have people come over more? Well, I know why. You know, my house is never good enough. It's never clean enough. It's run by someone who has ADHD, and people will see through the cracks and know, right? Like, think of all the reasons that we stop ourselves from connecting. Whether it's through shared activities or helping others, building relationships can lead to profound growth, profound satisfaction. So I want to talk about practical ways you can build and deepen your connections with others. Let's dive into strategies that can help you cultivate these important relationships, because it's just not enough to talk about it. Let's get down to it, shall we? Because we've got a slight amount of time and we've got to get going. I try to make these podcasts as short and sweet as possible. You know, that's very hard for me. It is like culling through my outline and slashing it because I want to just talk about everything. But I, as I said before, drawing on insights from Robert Putnam's, as people call him, Bob Putnam, I want to call him Bob Putnam. In his book, Bowling Alone, The Rise and Fall of American Communities. Nope, that's not what it's called. Let's just go with Bowling Alone. Here are some effective ways to counteract the decline in social capital and foster stronger bonds in our communities and our personal lives. So Putnam emphasizes the importance of participating in local organizations and clubs. So whether it's Toastmasters, I'm here at a co-working space and looking at a Toastmasters as I had walked in, a Toastmasters, whether it's a book club, whether it's bowling league, right? Get it, or community garden for my friend who's Master Gardener. These groups provide structured opportunities to connect with others who share similar interest. Another tip from Putnam. So think about, are there groups? Maybe it's what has been most life affirming for me recently is this sweetest group of women. There's 10, 12 of us maybe at our church. And they range in age from 44 to 84, I think. And it is the most beautiful. I don't even know the average age, maybe 70, 60. And it is the most beautiful experience that I've recently, we are so, it's just immediately open and connected and full of love and like real affirmation for others. And also we talk about how we are so different than other seekers, Jesus seekers, right? Because we don't look the same. So like, we don't look like others. We have different thoughts, different views, different ways of being. So it really just brings people together when we have a common shared interest. Okay. Another tip from Putnam, as I had said before, is to engage in community service or volunteer work. Right. This is, and I can tell you research as the day is long, about this benefiting not just your community, but places you in a network of caring individuals, fostering connections that are meaningful and reciprocal, and giving back changes us as Anne says molecularly. And so these are going to matter, sweet friends. Get out there, give back, connect, and then you're going to be more open, more willing to connect to others. And what we are not going to underestimate the power of small daily interactions. Okay, so here comes our courage challenge for this week. This is your homework. We're going to have 7 days of social connection. And that seems so weird, like 7 days of community, let's just call it that. And I want to give you some ideas of what this might look like. You might reach out to someone to say, have coffee, virtual or in person. You might say hi to three people today. You might host a virtual dinner party or game night, or you, that was during COVID. You might actually host a dinner party or have people over. You might do something unexpected for someone. You might have a courageous conversation. You could chat with your neighbors, participate in local events, simply support local businesses. So I want you to think of 7 things that you can do. And it might just be texting your old college friend to say, I was thinking of you today. I'm going to do this when I get off of this podcast. I'm thinking of you today. I love you. I will talk to you soon, hopefully, because we can make time for this. I just adore you. So this is, I want you to think of 7 days of things that you can do. And you might just think of it day at a time, and it can be a wide variety of things. It might just be reaching out to say, hey, Toastmasters, I want to join. And can you tell me more about it? Or just think of what it might be for you and what that would look like for you. As you guys know, I take these challenges very seriously. I will be documented on my Instagram. I have a goal, which is ridiculous because most people are, you know, addicted to their social media. I forget to check my social media. So my goal is to interact and post what I've done on social media, because I think that's a form of connection. Some people don't think it's a healthy form of connection, but I think if I see people and we talk about what I had posted or what they had posted, and it's so much fun. It's so sweet. And someone just had said that to me, that they feel uplifted by my Instagram. And it was so, I forget that we can have ripples of impact. We can provide beams of love. Okay. So I want you to think about that. If you decide to do this, you can DM me, who am I for talking like that, on Instagram and tell me about it, or you can send me an email. We're just going straight to stong.jessica@gmail.com. And let me know how it goes. But as we reflect on these tips, I want to revisit William Blake's powerful quote. Again, we are put on earth a little space that we may bear to learn to bear the beams of love. This idea of enduring and sharing love encapsulates why building these connections is so essential. They allow us to give and receive the beams of love, enriching our lives and the lives of those around us. The other recommendation, as I said, is to pick up a copy of Anne Lamott's book, Somehow. It's a treasure trove, always, her books are, of insights on love, connection, and personal growth. It complements today's discussion beautifully, if I can say so. And it was perfect timing. It was divine timing, right? So as we wrap up today's episode, I just pray that you feel inspired to strengthen the bonds of connection in your own life. Remember, every interaction, no matter how small, is an opportunity to forge a deeper relationship and nurture those beams of love. So here we go. We've explored why connection is crucial for our well-being, how it shapes our lives, and how we can actively nurture it, whether through joining groups, volunteering, engaging with, actively engaging, being purposeful, that's it, intentional with those around you. Every step you take builds towards a more connected, fulfilled life. So I just again, want to thank you. I just feel overwhelmed when I, you know, look at how many people downloaded these episodes, how many people cared enough to listen. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I wish that we could each have conversations, and maybe we'll do that. Like, I think, you know, that would be so much fun to say, okay, I'm accepting. Here, I'm doing this on the fly. I'm accepting if you listen to this podcast and you are at the end of this podcast and want to be on an episode and are willing to talk to me, I would be grateful. So for you listeners out there, if you're willing, send me an email. Send me a message on Instagram now that I'll be checking it daily, and let me know what you want to talk about. We can do an interview. We can just have a chat. I just think that I think that we share ourselves, we share our lives, we share our stories, and we radiate beams of love. And we bear others' beams of love. So I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Lives of Courage podcast. And next time, we're going to explore, we'll continue to explore what it means to live a life of courage, purpose, and deep connection. Let's keep bearing the beams of love, one interaction, one chance at a time. So I want you to take care, stay connected. And until next time, next week, live courageously. I love you all. Thanks so much. Take care.